Is it time for you to test the investment game? What are those investments going to look like? Is it real estate? Is it lending? Have you questioned if it's really for you? Are you old enough? Are you too young? Do you have the money to get started? This could never be for me. If you ask yourself all of these questions, join us on this episode when we sit down with Rodrigo Afanador, who started out just like you, and now he has his own property management company, and he's going to share with you all of the information and the tools that got him from where you are to now where he is. We'll see you then. Welcome, everyone, once again to another episode of the IRA Cafe. So wherever and whenever you are listening to us, we're glad that you could spend some time with us. As always, we're always brewing something up here for you to expand your investment knowledge, learn a little bit from us, and also learn from our guest that we have on today. I'm really excited about the guest that we've brought on. He and I actually go back over a decade. We're going to be joined in just a couple of minutes by Rodrigo Afanador, who is the owner and broker in charge of Vesta Property Management. And we're going to talk a little bit about the really the coincidences of how this entire conversation has come about today. Before we also get started, I also want to mention to everyone, remember that the IRA Cafe is powered by American IRA, which is your one-stop shop for all of your self-directed IRA and solo 401k needs. And oh, by the way, you think you might want to do an IRA-owned LLC or the checkbook IRA inside of that retirement account? Well, guess what? We've got you covered on that too. So don't forget to stop over at our website at any point and visit us at AmericanIRA.com for any of your self-directed needs, also for any of the education that you might like. You can also find out information about podcasts like this, webinars that are also coming up, see some of the old ones. And it's more than just the website. You know, if you have got a social media platform, find us on Facebook and like us there. And then also check out our channel on YouTube and subscribe. Well, that takes care of a little bit of the housekeeping duty. So let's go ahead and bring in our guest for today. Again, this is Rodrigo Afanador. He is with Vesta Property Management, where he is the owner and broker in charge. Like I said, Rodrigo and I go back over a decade, and this comes from when I was attending a Real Estate Investor Association local meeting in the Asheville, North Carolina area, where I was a vendor. And Rodrigo was one of the first folks that I met there. And I want to say at the time, I don't even know, Rodrigo, if it was vice president status yet, but Rodrigo was a former vice president of that association. He is also a former president of that association. And then he has also, he started his own other meetups where he is known as just a master networker. One of the things that you're going to learn today from Rodrigo and our conversation together is this, that today on the cafe and lots of times on the cafe, we make sure that we want to bring the real world in here so that folks can really learn from that. All too often, whether I'm out at a talk out in public or just on a regular phone call, people might think that, well, that's other people are doing that. That's really awesome how those people have been successful. Yeah, I'd like to do it, but I just don't, there's no way that I could get this started. I don't know where to start. On and on. You've heard it all, right? Well, so have we. And today, if you are listening, if this is you, if you want to know how you can do your first real estate deal, if you want to learn how you can use your money to be a private money lender to other folks, and if you also want to learn how you can start with a self-directed retirement account and do that and more with your new American IRA account, then you're at the right place. So let's go ahead and bring in Rodrigo. Rodrigo, thank you so much for joining us today. Golly, I know how busy you are. And so to have a little bit of your time today means the world. I'm so happy to be able to call you a colleague, but more so to call you a friend. So welcome, buddy.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me on. Excited to be here. Yeah, it's been a decade plus. Funny how different chapters have been lived during that time.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Marriages, kids, everything else, and always being able to connect on that. Rodrigo reminded me before this started that, ironically enough, he actually found out about me when I was, again, I was attending as a vendor these this real estate association investor meeting. I was there as a representative of a property management company. So this is even before my almost decade here at American IRA. And come to find out, he was actually looking for property management services, of which I was able to take care of him on that. And here we are now. He's all grown up. He's got his own property management company and learning what I did from what I did day to day and what it's really
like. You made it look so easy. I decided to dip my toes into the water.
Exactly. Well, we're going to find out how easy that really is probably here in just a little bit. So, Rodrigo, I tell you what, go ahead and just tell the group a little bit about you, where you started from, where you're from, what led you to the Asheville area, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So I'll give a quick summary, and then if you want me to expand on anything, Kyle, I'm happy to. I was born and raised in Bogota, Colombia, and I ended up growing up there. When I graduated high school, I ended up moving to Canada. I spent a year and a half in Canada, basically one winter, and that was enough for me to decide that I did not want to do a Canadian winter 2 years in a row. So left Canada, ended up down here in the Asheville area after that. I was trying to find a place that had mountains and was relatively warm. And so I got to Asheville in 2009. If you're familiar with Asheville, I lived the real Asheville experience for a couple of years, had a variety of different jobs, you know, walked around barefoot, did some hitchhiking, kind of checked off all the boxes, worked in a kitchen, worked on a river, et cetera. But got into real estate in 2012 or so, maybe it might have been 13. And it all started off of reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that kind of got that journey started. And during that time, I'd heard one of those radio commercials are like, oh, come and learn real estate, flip money or flip houses with no money, no experience, no credit, et cetera. 2 hours is all you need. And so I went to like one of those lunches and they continue to upsell you into like different programs. And I went through a couple iterations of that upsell to like the full Saturday seminar, to the full weekend seminar, to like the half week seminar, and just kept getting involved. And interestingly enough, the most important thing I think that came out of those seminars that kept me in the game was, one, I told everybody I was doing it, and so I kind of felt like I had to come through. But two, the biggest piece of advice or knowledge that I actually walked away was, find people in your local market that are doing what you want to do and get as close to them as possible. Right. And so I came out of that seminar and I was told that if I didn't find a deal in 30 to 45 days, it meant that it wasn't meant for me. Real estate ended up taking me like 9.5 months to do my first deal. But when I hit the ground running in Asheville, I just did what they told me, is like, go find people. So I got involved in my local RIA, and just started talking to anybody who'd be willing to give me some time. And through that process, I was able to be really mentored by a couple of incredible individuals who poured into me and, you know, kept making mistakes and kept learning and kept working and kept talking to these folks. And, you know, that was, I guess, almost 12, 13 years ago. And in that time, there's, you know, been a lot of iterations of what it looks like to invest in real estate. And but it's been a fun journey.
No, definitely. And one thing I do want to kind of really check in here to really be specific about this, and it's going to play some importance of the folks that are listening to us, depending on their age. But Rodrigo, how old were you when you went to that first seminar?
21, maybe 20, 22, somewhere in that 20 to 22 range. I don't remember exactly.
Gotcha. And you still had, you were doing all the things, still had all the jobs. I want to say at that point, that was still the long-haired Rodrigo that I remember that was working at one of the restaurants, in downtown. And again, we're really setting this up, and Rodrigo and I can smile about this now, but, and smiling then too. Okay. But again, this is the reality, folks. 21 years old, Bogota, Colombia. Obviously he was younger when he moved away from there, but he's not just moving towns. He's moved into a couple of different countries. He has settled in a town and was getting himself immersed in what he's talking about, all of Asheville, if you know about Asheville, and he became really ingrained in that. And then he knew that, okay, what's next? He didn't stop there. He didn't stop all of his other jobs that he had because he knew that he couldn't yet. And but he kind of hears about real estate and he knows that's what he wants to do. So keep that in mind. Age, he wasn't retirement age. He, I'm guessing, wasn't dipping into the artesian well yet. He knew that he wanted to create that. And what was it going to take? Am I tracking pretty right on that, Rodrigo?
Yeah, absolutely. So like when I got into real estate, I moved out of being working inside of the restaurant business. I was a server and I was working at a law firm at the time as a legal assistant and going to school at night. So all of my real estate beginnings were, you know, from somewhere like around 6 o'clock to about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And then just weekends is when I was going out to the properties. And then the evenings I was doing, you know, all the calling and the following up and the just trying to find somebody who'd be willing to meet with me and maybe, you know, sell me a house at 50 or 40 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. One of the things we've always talked about, and I know a lot of, the folks that you're going to talk about, you don't have to give any names, but talk to the audience a little bit about the people that you surrounded yourself with. Talk about what they were doing and maybe some of the things that you would ask them or how they lent their time and why those people were so effective. Can you give us some examples of their persona?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing that all of them had in common is that, and I think this is true for most people, even if real estate's not the main focus, if you're further on in life and, you know, I'm not old yet per se, but as I'm noticing this trend for myself is you want to see people win in general. Like that's, I think, an overwhelming desire that most people have is you want to see other people win. And that really, I think, gets solidified when advice is given and then advice is followed. And the more advice that is followed, the more advice is given. I think it gets more detailed, it gets more in depth, it gets more applicable to your specific situation because the person giving the advice has seen that you're willing to follow it and interact with it. And maybe not always follow it to the T, but if you like, a lot of how I got started was somebody would say, hey, you know, looks like you're trying to find a deal. I was like, I'll do anything. They're like, okay, here's a random house. Can you go knock on the door, take 5 pictures and just do like a random list of things. And I'll just go do it. And I'd have this checklist of whatever, you know, a couple of these different folks had asked me to do. Sometimes it required me to climb through windows for abandoned houses, work myself into them, talk to people who were very angry. But I was able to show that if you gave me something to do, or if you gave me advice, that I'd be willing to follow it. And I would come back and say, hey, here are the results. Here are my next set of questions. And so as long as that like feedback loop continued, and it still continues to this day, you know, I definitely have a long ways to go on knowing things, and asking questions is a big piece of it. And then again, it really follows with when you get advice, follow up on the advice. Either tell somebody that you did the advice or tell them that you didn't follow through on the advice and give some reasons why. Not, you know, it's not like you have to follow people blindly, but at least show that you considered what they said and why. So I don't know if that answers your question. I think that was pretty vague, maybe.
No, it actually does. I mean, the one thing that you always do is give such great information, and it's based on the experiences and just that information. And folks, listen, we've had lots of folks visit us and have a sit down in the cafe. I can't stress enough, and it's just because, and it's not because I know Rodrigo, but I know I've watched him grow, and this is why, just as he said, he wants to see people succeed and win. And I can tell you he does, from knowing him personally and professionally, he does. And I think we probably want to hopefully say that he never dealt with any upset people because he had just crawled through their window. I think that was,
these were all vacant houses. Yes. Lots of door knocking happened before I was crawling through windows. But I mean, this is like at the beginning. So if you remember in Asheville, like 2013 to about 2015, 2016, there was this like awkward dead period between, from what I heard, that, you know, some of the still coming out of the 2008, there's a lot of empty property. I don't think that's as applicable now as it was then, though.
Gotcha. No, I mean, definitely. And that's the thing, is that I was in that area the entire time that Rodrigo's been talking about this, and he's sharing a lot of truth. Well, let's talk about when you did finally land your first piece of real estate. Tell us about the first place, the first investment property. Tell us a little bit about the deal and what was involved in it.
Yeah, it was a mobile home, and I was feeling a little anxious. I think I was like 12 or 18 months in, and to that point, I'd only done a few wholesale deals. And so I really wanted to like own something. And I found this old mobile home on Craigslist, I think back in the day. And it was in a 55 plus park, which I didn't think mattered, but we'll find out that it did in a moment. But yeah, I bought this mobile home and needed a ton of work. I bought it out of somebody's estate. I used a credit card, did a cash advance to buy the mobile home and use that to renovate it and to fix it up. And went through that whole process. There's a couple of surprises that, you know, I've now learned is normal. And I don't remember exactly what the numbers were, but I think I bought it for three. I put something like 10,000 into it. So I was all in for 13-ish or so, let's call it. And I was trying to sell it for like 20. And it was going relatively well, except everybody who was interested in buying the mobile home was under the age of 55. And it was a 55 only park. And so this went on for a while. And ultimately, what I ended up having to do, unfortunately, was selling it back to the owner of the park, I think for like $6,000. So it was not a good first deal from a financial standpoint. But it was one of those things that of just like taking action and being willing to go into the unknown. And I learned more in that deal that kind of set me up down the road that I don't know if I would have ever learned that by reading books or necessarily. I could have, but at that point, I think action was a little bit more important. Also, I think age had something to do with it. You know, I was very risk tolerant at that point.
What are some of the, go back and think about, if we dig into that just a little bit, what were some of the things that you learned the most from that?
I think the biggest thing, and I've taken that with me now, is just having multiple options on the back end of a deal. So even if I'm buying a property as a fix and flip, and that's the intention, that's the primary, just making sure that like, okay, what happens if it doesn't sell? What's the pivot? Can I hold it long-term as a long-term rental? Can it turn into a short-term rental? You know, what other options are there? Because on that one, I didn't have any other options. There's no rentals were allowed in the park. Again, no, you know, it's 55 only plus. And so I was kind of at the mercy of the park owner. And so even now, you know, I'm very careful about doing deals or owning stuff that have like big HOA restrictions or in like apartment or condo complexes where there's a lot of third party variables. Just because of that experience. So I'm a little bit you know, cautious about getting into a situation where I don't have like the full autonomy that I would like to have with a piece of real estate that I own.
No, good stuff there. And you know what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and balance the thing that may have in your eyes gone poorly, but again, it has built your knowledge of the pitfalls, what to watch out for, and so on and so forth. Let's look at one and balance it out with what's a real estate deal. And look, let's do maybe an investment one that has just gone squeaky clean. What's one of your best successes that you've had on that?
Like something that's like a long-term hold? Or just in general?
Well, you know, just what is one of your investment deals, whether it's yours, whether you've helped someone else, what has been probably maybe one of your biggest wins?
Yeah, I think I'd go one of two deals. I think one is kind of just really funny, just the way timing works out. But this was a small unit mobile home park, four units, and ended up wholesaling it to somebody. And that individual owned it and was working on it. And then like 6 months later, they called me and they're like, hey, this is so much work. I have zero interest in doing this. Do you want to buy it from me? I'll owner finance it for you and carry the paper. And so that was a great deal. Still own it today, still making payments on it today. But it was a mobile home park, you know, four units that was completely run down. We've had to replace one of the units, two of the septic systems over the last, I don't know, maybe 8 years or so that we've owned it. But now it's, you know, it's got four mobile homes on it and our debt service on it is less than $600 a month. And so it took a while for it to build, but it was kind of fun to wholesale it, then get to buy it, own it as a rental, and then just see what, you know, time on feet, essentially just being in the game over this period of time has taken something that was, you know, very headache heavy, made me question life decisions for a little bit, but then now it's probably one of the best purchases that was ever made.
What do you like the most about the investment world? Because I know that it's not just real estate that you have found or that you've been successful in, but you've also been known to be a good private money lender out there, and you've learned a lot about that. Is there one that you like over the other, or really what do you like the most about your investment journey?
I think I'll always enjoy real estate more so than lending, and maybe that's just I like the tangible side of things for sure. Lending has, you know, been mostly a good experience. Definitely no complaints there, but there is something about, you know, I have two kids and this could be like a very like, you know, like that commercial. It's like, don't become with like your parents. I don't remember which one it is, but I'm like the dad who's like, oh, we flipped that. That's a rental we own. I'd help with that deal. Like if we drive around town, I love being able to like have this like visible representation of like work over the years, you know, and it does get like my kids excited. They if they see a house that looks run down, they're like, oh, dad, you should buy that one. We saw an ugly house, you know, and I enjoy that side of it, of just this, the tangible piece of it. And I don't, you know, maybe that will change over the years and lending will be, you know, is more of an appealing piece. But yeah, I think for me, I found real estate to be great. I think I can take the kids along on that journey in a much better way than just like, oh, well, here's a promissory note. It's hard to get excitement about just looking at a piece of paper.
Oh man, you're so right. You know, speaking of the journey, let's actually tap into the word for just a second. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you're bringing to us on our webinar series, and by the time some people will see this, or if they've come circled back around and come to listen to this podcast, either they've already seen that webinar or they're going to tune into it later. But one of the things that you and I have talked about that you wanted to highlight in one of your presentations with us really is the journey, and whether it's the chasing of the journey, knowing if you're in the journey, is the journey the journey? Can you actually lend just some time to that here and tell our viewers and our listeners what you really mean by that, what it means to you, where you are in your journey, in hopes that they can either see themselves on this type of path, or what can help them shape their own path?
So, subject to change, because maybe if I have this conversation a year from now, I might give a different answer. But I think that, like, when I first got into real estate, the journey was very destination oriented, right? It was like, how many deals are we going to do this year? What's our total revenue going to be? When we were marketing heavier, it was about how many pieces of mail are going out the door every week, how many phone calls are being made. It was very like number driven from a, you know, did we achieve this number or did we not achieve this number? And I think as the longer time that I've spent in real estate and just having a family and things, I've realized that a lot more of my focus is shifting to what do I want to be doing on the journey? Because I'll always enjoy working on different things. Like I enjoy the work. I enjoy being involved in real estate and whatnot. And so I think the question isn't so much about what am I trying to achieve or what's the goal that we're trying to reach. And right now, my view of journey is more of, do I enjoy the scenery of the place that I'm hiking, essentially? If we're going to use that hiking metaphor, if I'm on a journey, I care more about who I'm hiking it with and what the views are and things of that nature than how quickly I can get to the top. And that's one of the main reasons, you know, that I ended up getting into property management, because I enjoy that cadence of business and that approach. It's a slow approach, right? Like rentals are slow. You're not running around fixing houses and walking away with, you know, large paychecks, right? This is about repeated small decisions that stack over time. And that just really resonates with me right now. And I think that that's not something that I would have noticed or necessarily appreciated 10 years ago, 12 years ago when I first got started. I was very much chasing a specific outcome.
Very wise. Very, very wise. Again, folks, I know I said it at the beginning and I talked about it before he really got going, but the knowledge you're getting right now, come back and watch this over and over. You are going to hear something different every time you listen to this podcast, promise you. All right. So in this journey right now and along this trail, we have come to Vesta Property Management. Now, again, some full circle things here. A lot of people who know me, a lot of folks who have been guests on the podcast know that this is something that about a year ago became very new to me, being a podcast host. So I learned a lot, and I was trying to always think back, man, how did Rodrigo do this? And he makes it look so natural. It was one podcast I was involved in at one point, and it was his, and that was it. He had me on, and we were talking about self-directed IRAs and how you could use that for private lending. He loved it, and so it was always great to know that the first podcast I was on was Rodrigo's, and now here he is on ours on the Cafe with American IRA. So again, just wanted to bring that around the irony and the coincidence of everything. So let's talk about the journey where you are now, the stop along the way, and Vesta Property Management, where you took the leap. You're now the owner of Vesta Property Management, the broker in charge. Tell us about how many properties you've got. Tell us about your company. Highlight it and tell us why your property management might be a little bit different.
Yeah, so we started in fall of 23, I think. And really that last couple months of 2023 was just about kind of trying to wrap our heads around the transition from self-managing to working with other folks, right? So after Kyle left the property management business, I did as well. And we took all of our management in-house. So Kyle, when did you leave Tons of Rental? Was that 2015, 2014, something like that?
I want to say, yeah, I It's been about 8 years and 9 months, but who's counting? But it's been just shy of
8 years and 9 months ago. I left as well. And so that's how long we self-managed before we started. And even when we were working with tons of rentals, we were self-managing part of our own portfolio. And I wanted to find another property manager during that time. And every time I had a conversation with somebody else, I just walked away not feeling excited to hand over what we were doing and the way we were doing it. And so when we opened up in 2023, a real focus was on seeing rentals more of like as an asset management piece versus just, you know, hopefully nobody calls me type of management. And so we're very data focused, just coming out of like the, you know, flipping houses. We were always tracking our numbers on a weekly basis and just trying to really understand and gain that like 1% edge on anybody else who was marketing to owners. And so a lot of that approach we've taken in. And so Vesta runs basically in a cycle in three buckets. So bucket number one is leasing. That's where we just totally focus on tenant placement. And part of our leasing experience is getting weekly updates to our owners. We share all of our numbers, you know, openly, like how many leads came in, how many applications have been submitted, how many showings have been submitted. And we share with you, you know, kind of what your, how your specific vacant property is performing against the portfolio. So an example of what that looks like is under leasing is if on average, it's taking us 15 showings to get one application and we've got 20 showings with your specific property, we know that there's an issue that has to be addressed. Typically it's price, but not always. And so being able to compare specific property performance against our portfolio and doing that on a weekly basis, make sure that we're kind of catching things on the front end versus, you know, waking up 3 months later and being like, oh, why is this property not rented? We typically know why properties aren't renting very quickly. The second piece of that is management. And management is kind of a lot of where you would think of most property managers live. Just, you know, answer the phone, answer emails. If there's a repair, you respond to it, et cetera. What we do there that's a little bit differently, maybe other people do this, not sure, but all of our property maintenance is shared with the owners immediately. So if we get a work order as an owner, you get brought into that conversation right away. So there's no work going on behind the scenes. There's no work orders that you don't know about. You can, as an owner, choose to be as involved or uninvolved as you want when it comes to maintenance. And this is important because if you're active in real estate, more than likely you have some really good connections with different vendors or subcontractors. And so we like our team a lot, but if you're getting better prices or better service from somebody else and you want to handle that relationship, the way we built our maintenance department allows the owner to kind of take over maintenance on a case-by-case basis whenever they think that they'll do a better job than us. And that's fine with us. Our goal is to make sure that the owners are empowered to execute their vision. And so that's kind of the management side of it. And then the last piece of the puzzle is build. And building looks different for every person. Are you trying to build equity? Are you trying to build cash flow? Are you trying to build your unit count, et cetera? Our goal is to help provide you the information, whether that's through our weekly newsletter that gives you the market numbers so you can see how the leasing numbers are doing. Should you buy a property in this given zip code or not? And then also we partner with a company called Blanket, and it basically provides asset level, like kind of portfolio management insights for you. And so if you think of like a Merrill Lynch or a Schwab account, when you log in, that's what you're seeing. It's running pro formas on a daily basis. So any day you log in, you can kind of see what your projections are over the next 20 years. And those projections are pulled directly from our property management software. So it's going to give you insights based on historical performance for your property. What's your average monthly spend on maintenance? What's your average vacancy since you've been in, since we've been part of managing it? What's your average rents, et cetera? So it's real-time data that's updated daily. So 2 a.m, can't sleep. You can go in, take a look, and make decisions as needed.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Rodrigo, thank you so much for telling us about your company. And I tell you, as we draw to a close here on another cafe episode, again, I just want to thank you for coming on, my friend. For other folks who have listened to this out there, again, multifaceted on this program. If you're questioning if it's time for you. And maybe it's not yet. Look, this investment, real estate, property management, it's not for everyone. But if you're waiting and always wanting to see, well, I'll wait till next year, I'll wait till next year, next thing you know, you're going to turn around and 30 years have gone by. And so in Rodrigo's example, you know, start early. Find out if it's for you or not, okay? If you don't think that you have the money to start, you don't always have to have the money there. Do you have money that you didn't know existed? Enter in the self-directed IRA, the old 401k from a previous employer. Do you want to be hands-on? Do you want to be hands-off? All of these things you've learned a little bit about here today. You can also learn more about it at our website. Coming back to Rodrigo here, hearing where he began and now it coming full circle to where he is, it has been a pleasure of mine to be part of that journey. It's been an even bigger pleasure of mine to now share him and his story with all of you. And I think we can all agree that with hearing this today, we're on just another stop of the journey, and we're all looking forward to seeing what the next steps are going to be. So if you're in Asheville, if you're outside of Asheville and you think that you might want to use that self-directed IRA to invest in real estate, and then you know that you need a property manager to take care of it, why not consider Vesta Property Management with Rodrigo, especially since this is somebody who isn't just an owner of a company, but he is an investor himself. And he, as you've heard, he's seen it from really the ground up, and that's who is running the company now. So Rodrigo, buddy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on, and we look forward to the next time.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. Thanks for having me on. Fun to go full circle on who's hosting the podcast.
Absolutely. Well, we can't wait to have you back one day and see what those wins are and where you are again on the path. For everyone else here at American IRA, we thank you for visiting with us for a little bit, taking time out of your day or your evening, wherever and whenever you're listening to us. Make sure to always join us again on another episode of the IRA Cafe powered by American IRA. See you next time.
American IRA, LLC, a North Carolina LLC, acts as a third-party administrator for New Vision Trust Company, a state-chartered South Dakota trust company. As a neutral self-directed IRA administrator, American IRA does not recommend or endorse any investments, individuals, or entities, including financial representatives, promoters, or companies. American IRA and the IRA Cafe are not responsible for other statements, representations, or agreements, nor do we evaluate the quality or profitability of any investment. American IRA does not endorse guests on the IRA Cafe podcast. Guest opinions are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of American IRA, its subsidiaries, associates, or custodian. Participation in the podcast is voluntary and no compensation is provided. American IRA is not a fiduciary and cannot offer financial advice. Please consult your CPA or another professional before making financial decisions.